Today, the final day for early voting as we approach Election Day next Thursday across the Upper Cumberland. Our Meet the Candidates discussions today begin in the U.S. House race, District 6, the Democratic primary, where three candidates are vying for your vote. One of those is Cyril Fote. Cyril, thank you for the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why did you decide to put your name in the ring, so to speak?
Yeah, it's something I've been thinking about for quite a while. You know, I grew up doing scouts. I'm an Eagle Scout, and so I was, you know, learned from a very young age how important it is to be civically engaged. And at some point when I was getting into adulthood, there was kind of a light bulb moment that I had when I realized that, you know, I've got this impression, or I had until that time, about politics and specifically people holding elected offices as something that you'd do for a career. But then the realization of, well, you know, maybe it shouldn't be like that, because a lot of the problems that we run into as a country are from people holding those offices, trying to use that to their own advantage rather than serving the people that they're supposed to be representing. And we can't really have changes to that problem unless we have people who are seeking those offices for public service, and in some ways even trying to change the electoral system to try and make that easier for people to do. And, you know, having more kind of everyday, especially working class folks, holding office. So I figured, you know, we can't make those changes unless I'm willing to do that myself. I can't really expect anyone else to do that if I'm not willing to either.
Your background as a member of the working class, what do you bring to the table in that standpoint?
Most of my, you know, I'm 29, so I've had a fairly short career, not that many years out of school, but the career that I've had, I've been teaching computer science over at Tennessee Tech. And so because of my background in computer science, a lot of my platform is on software and digital technology issues. But as a working class person, I understand the challenges that working class people have in terms of just making a living, that a lot of our elected officials don't really have because they're so honestly kind of grotesquely wealthy in a lot of cases. But I've also, with my position at Tennessee Tech, I've also done a fair bit of labor organizing with United Campus Workers, and so I'm a really big advocate for union support.
What has it taught you about what people want from government today?
So I already kind of had this impression of a lot of the problems that people talk about, we are in far more agreement than we think about what the problems are. Most of our issues come down to arguing about different directions of how do we make change, right? What direction does that change go in, right? So we have different ideas of what the solutions to the same problems should look like. So that's something that I already kind of had an impression of, but talking to people throughout my campaign, all across the aisle, all areas of political ideology, that's something that's been really, really clear to me. And so knowing that has been really useful for me, being able to speak to everyone across the district of a lot of different political camps, being able to start with, you know, here are the problems that we both see in the world, and getting to a point of having conversations where people trust me to actually have a reasonable solution for those problems.
What are one or two of those issues that you keep hearing over and over from people that they are concerned about?
Mm-hmm. The biggest one really is people don't feel like our government is accountable to us. A lot of people don't trust most politicians. They don't trust the government to most of the time be acting in our best interest. So a lot of the, you know, and this goes back to the issues that got me thinking about running in the first place, is I really want to push for things like term limits, for changes to how campaigns are financed, and preventing our Congress members from being able to personally profit off of holding their offices. And that's something that really speaks to everyone that I've gotten to talk to over the last year.
Cyril Fote, one of the candidates running in the House primary that's coming up here in just a couple of days. This House district is an interesting one because it covers a very diverse area, from the more urban areas, especially in the northern part of north of Nashville, and then obviously here in the upper Cumberland. How do you try to bring a voice to both?
Well, that starts with meeting people in every part of the district. I mean, I know there are other candidates because the Middle Tennessee congressional districts have been gerrymandered so heavily. Some of the other candidates are just focusing on trying to get all of their votes from Nashville. And, you know, even if there's some strategic advantage to it, I just don't feel right trying to do that. So I've spent my whole campaign making it around and speaking with people around every part of the district. And I'm driving upwards of an hour in every direction to do that out from Cookeville. But honestly, there are people in rural areas are not used to being campaigned to, and in a lot of cases, just being able to talk to someone who's trying to campaign to them does works out really well.
Your focus on improvements to security and our policies as it relates to computer and the internet and all of those things that are technology, it's interesting because it happens just a few days after a major outage based on a silly update that we're dealing with. And I think for a lot of us, Cyril, that was a moment where you said, boy, we are more dependent on computers than maybe we even realize. Is that part of what you're trying to get us all to think about?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So the big thing that I've been saying throughout my campaign is that digital technology is so ubiquitous. It affects every aspect of modern society. And it affects every aspect of our daily lives in some way. So, you know, something that I've been really harping on to show people, to kind of demonstrate how important it is, because it's really easy to let this kind of sit out behind the scenes and not think about how much it's affecting. But really, every other policy position that we can be talking about is in some way, and sometimes very small ways, but in some way affected by our technology landscape.
Cyril Fote, why should someone vote for you in the Democratic primary?
Because I am committed to using this office for public service. I am not doing this for myself. I'm doing this because I want to make our community as good as I can, and I saw running for office as being the most effective thing that I could be doing with my time and energy to make our community better.
Cyril Fote, one of those who wants your ballot cast his way as we head to the polls. Cyril, thanks for the time, and thank you for throwing your name in the ring.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you chatting with me. And remember to vote for Fote this year.
Jackson County will elect a new assessor of property when we head to the polls next Thursday. Glenda Mayberry and Caleb Allen are the two candidates for that position. Today, we visit with Caleb. Caleb, let's start with a definition, if you can. I think a lot of people maybe don't really understand what an assessor of property does. As you see it, what's the role?
We're just mainly responsible for maintaining all the parcels in the county and making sure that all the dwellings and the acreage for those parcels are correct as far as like the houses or the outbuildings and stuff like that, making sure they're appraised correctly as an amount and a square footage. We also maintain the mapping for the county as far as if you get your property surveyed and correcting the acreage on that via a new survey.
Why is this the role for you?
I'm the current assessor of property for Jackson County right now, and it's a job that I take very serious. I love doing it. I love helping people. It's just something that I've grabbed a hold of the last 4 years and just tried to learn as much as possible, and I feel like I've learned a lot, and I feel like it's a position that I can thrive in for a really long time.
What is the most important 1, 2, 3 things that you've learned in the last couple of years of trying to make this position yours?
One of the main things is, you know, you don't have as much control or knowledge about how properties are assessed in the county. And coming into this position, I kind of felt like it was up to the assessor. But a lot of it is state mandated, and the state does a lot of it. So you kind of have to learn how to express that to the citizens, to explain to them that, you know, your job is to make sure that the records are correct. But as far as the square footage rate and how much they're being charged on their land, it's pretty much up to the state whenever we do a reappraisal.
Yeah, I think there's some confusion sometimes, you know, between the state, between the property tax rate. People get confused about what it all, how it all comes together, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Yeah, yeah. They tend to think that it's all left up to the assessor, but in reality, all it is we're just making sure that what you have on your property is on the tax roll to be taxed. We're not, you know, telling you this is exactly what it's worth or anything like that. We're going off of previous market values of land that it's sold in the previous years. That's like a comparable rate. Everything's based on market value. It's not just I put that price on there.
As you look at what you've done in the last 4 years, what are you proud of?
I'm proud that we was able to take on the growth that we've seen in the last 4 years. You know, there's just me and another person in that office. And, you know, whenever you have property that's selling for two and three times worth what it was before, and then you have people who are coming in and building houses, and, you know, that's my responsibility to pick up those houses and put them on the tax roll. It's a large responsibility for just two people, and I'm the only one that actually goes out and picks up those new construction homes. So I believe we've done a good job the last 4 years of working very, very hard to make sure that new construction is picked up and put on the tax roll so there's not a burden put on the taxpayers.
Do you expect that the rate of growth is going to continue that we've seen over the last several years?
I do, mainly because there's still a lot of properties that have been purchased that are people from outside of the state of Tennessee that are going to eventually, you know, move here and build, and that could be short term. That could be in the next couple of years. And you know, picking up Jackson County is a large county, so picking up all this new construction, you can't get it all in 1 week, and you can't get it all in 1 year. So whenever you have a growth like we've had the last two or three years, you're going to be almost behind constantly, just trying to catch up with the construction process.
Caleb Allen is a candidate for the Jackson County Assessor of Property. I know it's hard to answer this question from the standpoint of you want to be modest, but why do you think someone should walk into the precinct and vote for you on Election Day?
One, because I have the experience and knowledge to continue to run that office the way that it has been run the last 4 years, which I believe to be very, very well maintained, and the customer service that we provide is, I think, one of the best. We're always respectful to all the citizens, and we always try to go above and beyond to assist them, no matter what the questions may be. I also believe that, you know, if I'm reelected, that the knowledge that I'm able, that I've learned the last 4 years, I can continue to grow on that knowledge. I'm already have been trained. I already go to all the meetings and seminars to stay up on all the laws and regulations. And, you know, I'm still young. I'm still learning, but I've got enough energy, and I'm a hard worker that I can continue to help Jackson County grow and thrive like it has been the last two or three years.
Caleb Allen, he is the incumbent running for Jackson County Property Assessor. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. You have a good one.
There are two school board races in Overton County in this year's August election, District 2 and District 5. We meet the candidates in that District 5 race, beginning with Jennifer Ledbetter. Jennifer, thanks for spending some time with us.
Glad to.
So why the decision for you to run for school board?
Well, I am a mom of four kids. We have been doing foster care since 2019. We've had over 20 kids come to our home with foster care. I have two biological and two adopted, and then we do have a foster daughter right now. But I just saw the need for someone to be a voice for these kids, especially the kids who are underprivileged or just doesn't have the opportunities that other kids have. One of the things was they had started doing some like discipline tickets, and in doing them, they take away school parties and trips. And we have dealt with discipline tickets, and they can be for like really silly things. And so I just felt like that it wasn't, that we could work together better to make kids' experiences at school just better. I hate to see parties and trips and things taken away for kids that just aren't problem kids.
When you think about what the role of a school board member is, in your mind, how do you define it?
It's a support person. They're there to support the Board of Education and the teachers and the students and the parents. We obviously, in my mind, you know, we don't make the rules, but we definitely can voice our opinion on the rules. And like I said, just be a voice and just that devil's advocate kind of person. You know, well, let's look at this from a parent's point of view, or let's look at this from a children's point of view, and just try to make sure that everybody's views are taken into account when rules are being decided or conversations are being had.
How important is the parent's view for you to bring to the school board?
Very. I mean, that's where everything is and everything starts, is in the home. That's where kids form their views and their opinions on a lot of things. Parents are huge in, you know, help assisting teachers to make sure, you know, homework is done, and voicing concerns that the parent may have about their child, as far as like, hey, I've noticed that, you know, my child's struggling with reading. What can I do to help them? Because on the other side of that, teachers are, you know, very, very important in the lives of kids. And so just working together as a team.
There's some frustration, I think, about, you know, the amount of testing that's done, the way the state, and I guess to some degree the federal government, changing the rules about, you know, this type of achievement and that type of achievement, the report cards and all of that. How do you come down on that? Is it something that concerns you as a parent and as a potential school board member?
Yes. One of the things that I've been confronted with is ACT. We had a child who scored a 36 on her ACT, but yet she was required to take an ACT prep course her senior year, which knocked her out of being able to take a college level class. Well, as you know, a 37 is like the highest you can get. So it's crazy to me that we would be knocking kids out of college classes. Or there was another student had wanted to get his welding certificate and he had to take this ACT class. And so, again, just advocating for, like, let's look at this, like, let's look at the rules, like, you know, and I don't know that it's anything that we can change, but definitely we can, you know, write and voice our concerns. But also with, you know, the testing, with the TCAP test for third grade, I think just, you know, like downplaying that a little bit at home and at school so that kids aren't as stressed about it and anxious about it. And, you know, just not making a huge deal in the system, because there is ways that children won't be retained. You know, they get a second chance to take the test. Then they can go to summer school. And, you know, our school system does a really good job of making sure that everything is possible that can be done. So we just have to make sure that there's a good job done with communicating it to the parents and the students so that they're not stressed out about it.
Are there things that parents have talked to you about, other things that you want to examine or at least give a hearing, so to speak, if you're elected to the school board?
Sports programs come up a lot in the conversations, you know, different opinions, different things. We built a new stadium, and so just some ideas on, you know, how to make the stadium better and work for more sports than just one has been some things that parents have address me about, and they have some really good ideas on that as well. After school, like, we did lose our after school grant, but it has been filled with other options, so we will have after school this year. That has been a concern, especially for parents who work, you know, till 4:30, 5 o'clock. Like, what am I going to do with my kids in the evenings? I feel like the discipline ticket issue is one that we need to look at and just see if there's a way that we can look at other forms of discipline without having to write it and document it and send it to the state and punish, like, extreme punishment for kids.
Final question, Jennifer. Here's your platform. Why should people cast their ballot for you?
Well, I'm an accountant. I'm a mom. And as I said, you know, I've never done any kind of thing like this before. I really just want to be able to help kids and be a voice for parents out there, and just make sure that all kids are getting the best education possible. Education is huge. I have my bachelor's. I have my master's. I think I just got my master's last August. Like, you can always learn. Like, you can, you know, and I just want kids to be able to know that no matter where you're at in life and no matter what you have going on, you have someone there that's willing to fight for you, and you can change your family tree.
Jennifer Ledbetter, candidate for the Owen County School Board, representing District 5. Thank you for the time, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Meet the candidates, your chance to visit with the men and women who want to serve you in local government, in state politics. One of those is Ben Danner. He is a candidate for School Board District 5 in Overton County. Ben, thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you for calling.
Why the decision to run for school board?
Well, you know, it's a kind of odd career path, I guess. You know, I've been county commissioner and been county executive too, and you know, I always wanted to help the school system when I was, the 20 years I was, you know, elected for the county and other jobs. And Jarman Hicks had been a school board member for two terms and done an excellent job. And he told me that he wasn't going to run again. So I decided, you know, I wanted to try to use my 20 years of government experience to try to help the children of this county out.
When you've talked to people, Ben, kind of what is their assessment of the issues or even the good things that they see happening with the Overton County schools?
Well, a lot of times, you know, people don't know the day-to-day workings of the school. Of course, if they've got children, you know, they know some about it. But, you know, I just talked to a lot of people that didn't have children that didn't know what was happening in the school system, and talking about security. You know, that's one good thing, you know, our county does well. We've got SRO officers at all the schools. And when I was at the county, I, you know, made sure we had funding for that, because, you know, when you send your kids off to school, I mean, that's what you worry about if, you know, something's going to happen, because you see on the news all the time things going on. And I think we do a real good job in Overton County protecting our kids. A lot of people talk about the salaries. You know, the salaries are low for teachers and support staff, and we train them and seem like they go to other counties. So, you know, these people, they interact with their children a lot of times more than the parents do, because they're with them all day. So, you know, a lot of people would like to see those teachers and support staff make more money, and I would too, because I, you know, I want to keep them here and keep the best people possible for our children. But, you know, even people that don't have children, they want to make sure that, you know, everything's going good in the school system, and we're, you know, training these children to make a good life for themselves. And, you know, we've got TCAT and we've got Ball State right there in Livingston, so there's lots of opportunities for them to, you know, get a good career and, you know, make a good life for themselves, and hopefully stay in Overton County.
Sometimes I think, and this is not just an Overton County thing, but I think there's sometimes confusion about what is the role of the school board as you see it. What does the school board do?
Well, the school board's, you know, kind of like the county commission. They set policies for the school to go by, and, you know, I feel like the school board members don't need to be in the way of teachers doing day-to-day processes to help the children out. The school board needs to be there to support the teachers and the superintendent of schools for whatever they need, but the school board member don't need to be there for their own agenda, and they don't need to be in the way of teachers, because, you know, I'm not a teacher. Couldn't be one. I don't know how they do it, you know, be honest with you. You know, some of them, just been there 20, 30 years, and, you know, I'm so glad that they're still there. A lot of the teachers that were there when I was in school are still teaching, and so glad that this next generation of kids get to learn from them. But I think the school board member needs to, you know, do whatever, pass whatever policy that will best help the teachers and the students and try to, you know, help them for the future and not go by personal agendas.
The school system used some of its COVID money and some other resources from the county to work on some of the capital projects that were needed. How important is it to make sure that the schools stay up to date with those kind of maintenance things that go on?
You know, that's one reason I ran, too. I mean, I've been involved with building projects at the county, and the school system's got building projects going. And when they first started working on this program with that COVID money, I was, you know, a champion of them doing that, because these schools, it's been like 2000 since the last time we actually worked on the schools. I mean, Overton County and the whole Upper Cumberland experienced, you know, tremendous growth since then. I mean, we've got a lot more kids than we ever thought we'd have in Overton County schools. And, you know, to be honest, when they built the schools in 2000, they had to cut them back for budgeting reasons, but we should have built them bigger to start with, and we wouldn't be in some of the, you know, problems we're in now about overcrowding, especially at Rickman, because that's, you know, that's where all the growth's at in the county. But it's very important to, you know, these heating and air units, to update them and get rid of the asbestos. You know, that used to be a big thing in all the schools. Of course, these buildings are older, and they've done a good job of going through and getting rid of that. But when I was at the county, I tried, you know, a lot of times that's the last thing that gets looked at is the county buildings, and the school is no different. I mean, they don't, you know, they don't get maintenance like they should, and the stuff, of course, the budget reasons, they don't put new roofs and things like that. And but I'm so glad that they've started that, and I, you know, want to be a part of that should I get elected to the school board. And I'm definitely for fixing all the schools. I've been around all the, you know, schools in the county, and we've got some really good schools and some good teachers, but we've got a lot of, you know, equipment, a lot of facilities that need a lot of work, and the school system has done a good job of starting that process.
And I guess to that point, this school board, the next several school boards are going to be faced with growing growth, especially, as you said, at Rickman, and then that's going to obviously translate down the line to Livingston Academy.
Yeah, that's, you know, school growth. First, when I first got elected county executive and found out we had land at Rickman, there were about 30 acres next to the school, and, you know, the county had bought that land back in the 1970s, and we'd never deeded it to the school. So I got the deed started and deeded that over to the school, where if we did have to build on at Rickman, maybe we'd have that. But the problem with that is there's a major sewer system in that field, which the state of Tennessee told me that was one of the first mass sewer systems in the state, and it fills that whole field with septic lines. So, you know, I tried to get a grant to put sewer in to the industrial park land in Rickman and come on down to Rickman School. And what that would do, if we could hook Rickman School on sewer, we could do away with all that fill line. And, you know, that could be a place to expand. Maybe, you know, if we had to build, you know, I know in Coolville here, they've got, like Prescott's got a K through 4 on one side and 5th through 8th on the other side. You know, maybe that's an option later down the road. But Rickman is definitely going to have some, you know, major work and expansion. And, you know, and I try to look at stuff into the future. A lot of times people are just trying to look at the stuff that's happening right now, but we've got to look 20 years out.
Finally, Ben Danner, it's your platform. Why should someone vote for you when they head to the polls in the District 5 race of the school board?
You know, I've been involved with county government for 20 years, and with me, you know what you're going to get. You get somebody that is going to do what's best for the people of this county and the children of this county. But I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff, and I'm not going to tell people things are better than what they are, and I'm sure not going to promise things I can't do. And, you know, I'm not running to get somebody a job, and I'm not running to get rid of somebody either. I'm not running to get one of my kids on a ball team. I've got one son that's in high school, and he doesn't play ball, and I've got two that graduated, and I'm, you know, all I'm doing is want to try to help our superintendent of schools and other school board members keep this county moving forward.
Ben Danner, candidate for Overton County School Board in the District 5 race. Ben, thanks for the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Four candidates will vie for three seats in the Sparta Board of Aldermen race next Thursday. We begin our discussions today with candidate Brian Jones. Brian, why did you want to run for office?
Well, I've been in Sparta since 2003 and just love this community and think it's a great city. And I just wanted to be part of it. I just retired, stepped down from teaching at Tennessee Tech. And so I have more time. So I thought I would get more involved in the local government and city affairs. And and it's been a pleasure doing that so far.
What has the experience been like from getting to know people more, talking about issues, seeing what they're interested in?
Well, one of the first things I did, I have an accounting and information systems background, education-wise. So one of the first things I did was really dig into our budget and see where money's allocated, how we receive money, all taxpayer money, and then also how we allocate it and spend it for different services from the sewer and water system all the way to electricity and roads and paving and all those type things. So that's kind of how I got into it, and it's been a really good experience getting to know a lot more details about how our city runs and how it operates. You don't think about a small town like this as being pretty complex, but it's pretty amazing all the systems that have to work together to make sure that we provide the right adequate services and safety and security and all that things to our citizens.
As you've talked to people, what are the things that are on their mind? Are they happy? Are there things that they want to see done differently?
Well, I think overall they're happy, but yeah, there's always things that they're looking for. And I think one of the things that this Board of Aldermen's done well, with obviously under the direction of the mayor, but I think that we've come together and looking at, see, how can we make sure that families are able to thrive here? So obviously any civilization, the foundation, the building block is the nuclear family. And so we need to support that. And so we're looking at ways that we can improve educational type systems that are outside the formal education system. So, you know, parks and rec and activities that can the whole family can be involved in, but that also gives something good to the person. So we're looking at that type of stuff. People are wanting more outdoor stuff to do, even though we live in a kind of an area that has a lot of outdoor activities. They'd like for it to be local as well, so they can go down and kayak in the river through town, or they can spend time in one of our parks and know that they're going to be safe and have stimulating activities for the kids and things like that. So we're hearing their voice, and we're trying to move in that direction.
What do you think of the idea of buying the land to build a park along the river?
I think it has a lot of upside. We're still talking about that and looking into all the possibilities and how we can fit in with the whole Tennessee park system and make sure that it's a destination that people know about and can use, but also that can serve our community. So we're looking at safety and security type issues to make sure that we're not creating a dangerous area, but an area that can actually provide for all the things that I talked about earlier, you know, the stimulation for kids and outdoor activities to do so that it keeps young people involved and engaged in our community and appreciating what we have here.
One of the issues that Sparta is dealing with is making sure that they have enough law enforcement, and the police chief has been outspoken that you got to pay more. That's a common refrain around the Upper Cumberland right now because of how, for example, the Highway Patrol is paying more. How do you try to approach a decision? Not asking you specifically what somebody needs to make, but how do you think through an issue like that?
Well, that's one of the main things that we're here for, right? That's one of the main things of government is to provide that security and safety for our citizens. And so we really looked at that, and we've come up with ways to use our budget more effectively so that we figured out some money. So this year we're actually hiring a new officer, not me, but the city is hiring a new officer. And so we're looking at that, and we know that that's an important thing. We don't want to get rid of law and order, and we want to hold people accountable when they're breaking the law. And the laws aren't there just for punishment. They're there to help us to make better decisions, right? So we have laws in place that we enforce, but that encourages us as citizens, all of us, me included, to make better decisions, to not choose to break the law and create bad situations and bad outcomes in our city and our town. So
it doesn't take a genius to drive around Sparta and see the growth that's happening and more different businesses opening around. So you got to be ready for this inevitable growth that's going to take place.
We do, and I think we're thinking about that. I know Dillard Quick in the working with sewer and water and all those type systems, he's really looking at that and making sure that our systems are robust so that we can have that growth without overtaxing and overwhelming our systems in place. And that's included in security as well, and that's why I think our police chief has been so adamant about making sure that we're paying our officers fairly, but also able to increase staffing so that we can keep that security and safety for all the new people that are moving in as well.
Brian, put your modesty aside for a moment. Here's your platform. Why should people vote for you?
My belief is that the family is the foundation of our whole system of government, all of civilization, and not just ours, any civilization that thrives. So I'm really wanting to make sure that we spend wisely, that we're good stewards of the tax base. It's a lot easier to spend other people's money, and we want to make sure that we're always aware of that, and we'll make sure we're spending money that's properly allocated so that we're spending money on infrastructure and safety and security and fire and all those type of things to keep this keep the city thriving. And so I pledge to do that. I pledge to make sure that I'm thinking not just in my own interest, but in the interest of all of the citizens of Sparta.
Brian Jones, one of the candidates for Sparta Board of Aldermen. Brian, thanks for the time.
Thank you for allowing me to speak.
We continue our look at the candidates who want to represent you in local government. That includes Hoyt Jones, who is running for Sparta Alderman. Hoyt, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yes, well, thank you for asking me to speak over your radio about my candidacy.
Why do you want to serve as an alderman?
Well, I'm a lifetime resident of Sparta. I was a banker here in Sparta for 37 years. I'm retired. Since I retired, I work part-time at the funeral home here in Sparta. And I get to see a lot of my old customers that I had at the bank. And it's, I love Sparta. And my goal is, wanting to be an alderman, is to keep the taxes low and spend the taxes wisely. And, of course, the city's been spending the increase in sales tax of 0.50 in the sales tax, pave streets, and improve infrastructure. And one of the most important assets that the city has are the employees. Without them, the equipment would be useless, repairs wouldn't get done, and I feel it may be time to do a pay study and stay in line with other surrounded cities and counties. It's heartbreaking when you have a great employee that's worked for many years to leave you for $2 more an hour. And our mayor has done a super job, and I'm glad he's asked me to serve on the Industrial Development Board to help recruit business and retails to come to Sparta. And I think overall retail and commercial buildings we have in Sparta, they're excellent, and we need to keep them and always have an open ear to help our citizens with any problems.
One of the areas where that pay has come into play, at least in the last year, is trying to keep enough police officers in the Sparta force, and the chief has mentioned just the difficulty in making that happen.
That's what I'm referring to. Yeah, we've lost a police officer for $2 an hour. He went to another entity. So, you know, I don't know if we not paying enough or what the problem is, but we need to stay up with the times. And, you know, it's terrible when you have an employee has to have two jobs to make a living. And so I'm hoping we can make some changes in that if I get elected.
There's a lot of talk about tourism in Sparta, especially with the development of the new state park that's coming. Is tourism an industry that Sparta can take better advantage of?
I am definitely sure we can. That's important to our community that we get tourism. And we have a lot of people that stops that are going to Fall Creek Falls, and people are coming out of Nashville that takes the old road going to Gatlinburg and places. And they just love little small towns like Sparta. And we got a wonderful, wonderful museum here in Sparta. And another one of my goals is that they have outgrown their building. And we need a larger building, and that should be a City of Sparta and White County project to obtain a larger building, because they having to turn people away that wants to donate items that is historical for Sparta and White County. So I think we need to increase the size of our building for the museum, and there's a lot of people that visits the museum here in Sparta.
Hoyt Jones is a candidate for alderman. What about the relationship between the city and the county? How, in your opinion, do they work together?
Well, I think we get along good. We're good neighbors, and I think that as we go forward, we can, if there's any problem, we can improve it. I don't know of any specific problem, but we're all trying to do the best for our community, and I think that we work as a team, we can make that happen.
I'm interested, you mentioned that your background is a banker. So do you try to bring that financial sensibility to this position?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do. I do a lot of audits for different small entities that need some help to make sure that all the money is spent right. So I do several of those, and I'm interested in looking at our figures, which I think is pretty good, but you know, we need to be aware that, you know, things can happen sometimes that you don't want to happen. But I sure will keep my ears open on that, yes.
If someone casts their ballot for you, Hoyt, what are they getting?
Well, they're getting some good experience that's going to be on the board that I hope will help grow our city and do the right thing for our citizens and spend their money correctly that they have paid in their taxes and try to keep them as low as we can.
He is Hoyt Jones. He would like to serve you as a member of the Sparta Board of Aldermen when we head to the polls here in just a few days. Hoyt, thank you for spending some time with us.
Well, thank you, and vote for me. I appreciate it. Appreciate everything you can do for me.
Today's Meet the Candidates discussion wraps up in Monterey, where two people are running in the Alderman Ward 3 race. Cecilia Paulson. Cecilia, first of all, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why did you want to run for alderman?
Well, I wanted to run because that decision was actually sparked last year. I was appointed to our Planning Commission and Board of Appeals here in Monterey. And that provided me with an advisory role here to deal with planning and land development issues. And once I was involved in that, I felt like I wanted to take that step up and really give a voice to all the things that are going on in the city. So choosing to run for the board is stemming from the fact that I'm a community-driven type person, and I feel really strongly that there should be an efficient allocation of taxpayer money here, and that should go towards projects that give us a permanent, sustainable benefit for the town as a whole. Currently, there's a lot of more individualized projects happening, and they don't benefit everyone. They may benefit just a small group or none at all. And I just feel like that has to change. The board has a really critical top priority, fiduciary responsibility, and that's just a big part of it. And I think it's time for the voice of all the residents to be heard.
What did you learn from serving with the planning?
What I learned from serving with Planning Commission is just an extensive, intricate knowledge there of just how specific it can be, where just something can be placed on a land and how maybe a few inches off could cause issue. And I never realized just how many layers there were involved in making sure that the city is doing the right thing at the right time with the property or the projects that come into town. So it's been a tremendous education, and I'm learning quite a bit from the more tenured people that are on the board as well.
You mentioned you are a community-minded person. Would you share a little bit about your background and kind of what brings you to this position and putting yourself out there for the voters?
Well, I actually grew up in Ohio and had a previous career as a hairstylist up there. So that had me engaged in the community, and I really enjoy getting involved with the people and hearing what they have to say and just letting their voice be heard. So when I moved here to Tennessee, I picked up human resources as my career of choice. And again, that engagement with people really drove me to, you know, wanting to make sure that people get the empathy they need and the understanding and the care that's necessary. So, you know, jumping on to the Planning Commission, that drove it further. And, you know, and speaking with residents and throughout the town, it's just critical that they know that they are being acknowledged and heard. So that's what makes me feel good. That's what drives me to do what I do and what I want to achieve is, you know, gaining credibility so people know, hey, I'm listening. I may not be able to fix everything, but I want you to know I heard what you had to say.
Interesting that HR perspective, because one of the things that the community is dealing with, obviously, is making sure people are paid what they deserve. And it's hard to do that, but certainly paying in a perspective that makes them comparable to other communities that are around. Is that something that you've heard a lot about as you've prepared for this role?
It is. And, you know, there's a lot of factors that roll into that. You know, a lot of times from my experience, you have to run a wage analysis from a national or regional and a local level and then just factor in what other counties around us are doing. So, you know, you have that. You have to look at the job description, you know, the staff, how many people are there, you know, how big of a budget is the payroll. There's a lot of pieces to it. But, you know, everybody at the end of the day, the pay may change, but the bills don't. So I think it's, you know, fair pay for the work. It's critical if you want to keep people happy.
Putnam County is in the midst of just immeasurable growth right now. How does Monterey figure in to that area of growth?
I think Monterey has a strong opportunity to become very enticing to pull people in. You know, we want to bring them in to see B-Rock or attend a festival, and that's great. But I feel like if we really set Monterey up as a place to, you know, I wouldn't mind moving there. You know, that place is really coming alive. It's really vibrant. It's a smaller town, but they've got a lot going on, a lot of businesses popping up. And, you know, just engage and bring people from maybe that are, you know, kind of tired of the extra growth that might be happening where they live and come to a maybe smaller version of it and enjoy it. You know, it's a no-brainer to me.
Finally, Celia, as people head to the polls, why should they cast their ballot for you?
I want people to know that I'm an independent thinker. I don't go with the status quo. I'm going to ask the questions, and I want the people that live here to tell me what they think, and I want them to know I'm going to listen. And I've made it very clear in my campaign, I'm going to give it my all 100%. Will I win? I don't know, but I'm going to continue to keep my voice heard through civic duty as much as possible.
Cecilia Paulson, thank you for your contributions to the community so far. Thank you for going out there and putting your name in the hat. It's not something many of us would do. Thank you for spending some time with us tonight, too.
Thank you. Have a great one.
The other candidate is James Cooney Foster. He turned down our request to discuss the issues.